T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I'm excited about our next guest. What a plethora of storylines from yesterday's NFL action. Joining us here on the show is former NFL offensive lineman, NFL analyst. You hear him on NFL radio for SiriusXM, our friend Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, good morning.
How are you, buddy? It's wonderful we have football, man. I am overjoyed on Sundays. So much fun.
No doubt. I know. It's just good to have it back. I'm totally with you. And one of the eye-openers yesterday was how the Falcons could possibly blow that lead. What was the worst part in your mind of the way the Falcons collapsed?
Well, I mean, it's very Atlanta Falcons, right? There's like the first team ever to score 39 points with no turnovers and lose a game. And it's just like, I mean, we were 458-0 before that. I just looked at the onside kick everyone's talking about, and that obviously is rightfully a terrible way to lose a game, right? I mean, just it looks like you're poorly coached. But I go back to their defense, and Dan Quinn is supposed to be a defensive-minded coach, right? He came over from Seattle, and they have been terrible on defense every single season that he has been their head coach. And that's not acceptable, right? If you have an offensive coach and their offense is not very good, Adam Gase, you blame the head coach, right? You blame the head coach and you fire the head coach. And for some reason, Dan Quinn is terribly bad on defense each year. His draft picks do not develop, and yet he keeps his job. I don't get it. To me, it's the defense. I mean, you can't ask the offense to do anymore. So it's 39 points. And his defense got sliced by Seattle, which rightfully sliced up New England last night. But Dallas was not very good for a long period of time, and they still lost that game. It's not good for Dan Quinn.
When it comes to that onside kick, though, did it look like they didn't know that they could jump on the onside kick earlier than 10 yards?
I don't know if it was that or whether they just thought, hey, if the ball doesn't go 10 yards, the play is dead, right? And so I think they just thought, like, oh, the ball's not going to go 10 yards, I'm not going to jump on it. These are things that get practiced during the preseason. And, you know, you get lots of reps at this in preseason games or in practice. And you're going to have these mistakes, in my opinion, this time of year without any practice. Like, there just wasn't a lot of time to prepare your hands team as you normally would have in a full offseason, a full training camp, and a full preseason. So that's, I think, in my opinion, kind of an effect of the lack of preparation. And I'm not sure that it's just a Falcons issue. Obviously, it's an issue with them from yesterday. But I bet there's issues around the league, and teams are now using it as an example of what not to do, obviously.
What do you think has gotten into Mike McCarthy, where he's going for it on every fourth down and two-point conversion? He tried two fake punts yesterday. What's going on with this dude?
I saw something like I saw a joke yesterday, like McCarthy got a subscription to Pro Football Focus and the Cowboys hired him. obviously, and I like the guys at PFL, but no slight to them. Obviously, he studied, and he talked about it, he studied, you know, analytics more in the offseason. He studied how to approach fourth downs. We've seen Baltimore continually push the envelope. And Andy Reid now does it too, by the way, which is, Andy Reid for a long time was very conservative. Now he finally won a Super Bowl being aggressive, and he's continued so far this year. And you've seen that the probability, win probability, is higher if you continually go for these fourth down. Now, the fake punts, one should have worked, obviously, and one obviously had no chance to work. I think there's a fine line between doing it too much and doing it not enough. And, you know, McCarthy obviously pushed the envelope with the two fake punts, but this is what the NFL is now, right? It's win probability. If you go for it here, what does that mean for your chance to win? And he's going for it. And, look, they have the offensive weapons to execute a lot of these fourth downs. And so I don't really mind him being aggressive. I'd much rather live with a coach being what McCarthy is and being like Anthony Lynn, having a fourth and one and just punting it back to Pat Mahomes, only needing 50 yards for a field goal. And you know, Anthony Lynn punched that ball yesterday against the Chiefs on fourth down overtime. And the Chiefs take like seven plays and they're immediately in the exact same spot they were had they stopped the Chargers on a potential fourth down. Like, I'd much rather lose a game by McCarthy going for it on fourth and three against the Rams. The Rams make a great play than just not going for it when you should. So I think the players appreciate his approach.
You're a proud big man. You oftentimes talk about what you eat and, unfortunately, the ramifications thereafter. And we were asking our listeners today whether Mike McCarthy is a, quote, fat head coach. I don't consider him a fat head coach, but Mraz vehemently disagrees. Do you consider Mike McCarthy a fat head coach?
I haven't looked at his body structure recently. I think he's on the little portly side. I don't know. I guess. I don't. Look, I'll defend coaches for a second because that is a very stressful job. You do not sleep in that job. You eat a lot of food in that job, right? You sit in that office all day. I would be 450 pounds if I was a coach because I would sit in that office all day. I'd be stress eating, watching film, getting no exercise, and I would be very, very heavy if I was a coach in the NFL. So I understand the pain that a lot of guys are. I mean, Andy Reid openly talks about how much he loves eating, which is the players absolutely love about Andy Reid. So, you know, whatever you got to do to get it done. I don't know. He's on the heavier side of NFL head coaches, I think, but I don't know if he's fat.
Yeah, I would agree. Portly is a good way to describe it. Portly, but not fat. I think that's a good way to describe it. Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning on the show. What to make of the Texans at 0-2? I mean, they're going to play the Steelers next week. If they fall to 0-3, the season is over. How do we get to this point?
Well, we got to this point because their defense is not any better. It was bad last year. It hasn't improved. And Deshaun Watson makes some great plays at times. But they really, you know, he doesn't have his number one weapon. He doesn't have his guy from college, right? I mean, you build up a rapport with someone like Hopkins through college and into the NFL, and they take it away from you, and you're not going to be the same player. I think they look discombobulated. Look, Bill O'Brien has actually been a decent regular season coach if you look at his record and the way the team performs. But you have, I go back to kind of the shorter offseason issue is that This is really benefiting good head coaches. I think we've seen now where Andy Reid and Harbaugh and McVay and Mike Vrabel and I think Sean Payton they win tonight and Pete Carroll and all the good head coaches, right? The guys that we trust are their teams are off to great starts this year, right? And the coaches that were like, I don't know if they're kind of. They're not starting well because there's less time to prepare. So you have to be very organized in how you went about training camp, what you installed, how you installed it. No wasted reps, no wasted time, players buying into what you're telling them. And I think we're seeing that a lot of these coaches that we consider really good coaches are doing well to start the season because they're very well organized, they're very prepared, they know how to coach. They know how to cut things down, put in what's important, and it's really making a difference right now.
If you were the Chargers, would you go back to Tyrod Taylor if he's healthy, or would you stick with Justin Herbert after what you saw yesterday?
You're playing Justin Herbert. I don't know why this is a question. I get Anthony Lynn wants to be respectful to Tyrod Taylor. I guess he was in the hospital. I believe he was discharged yesterday. But how do you watch Justin Herbert play that game and think, you know what, can't start this guy anymore? I mean, look, I'm a Herbert guy. He went to Oregon. I went to Oregon. I've watched every rep of his. I'm not going to gold after one game. That's silly. I don't ever really do that with any player. It's a long season. It's a long career. But I told anyone that would listen that when you put Justin Herbert in an offense that's more friendly to his skill set with professional wide receivers, he will play a lot better. We saw yesterday, outside of one mistake, and that mistake was pretty killer because the Chargers were up, I think, 17-6, and Justin could have run for a first down, extend that drive. You're now in scoring range. He throws a terrible interception. He'll have to learn from that. But otherwise, he looked fabulous, right? His touch was a little bit off on the, some of those underneath throws because he just throws a rocket, but he was poised. He did not have any issues with coverage. He ran the ball well, which he wasn't allowed to do much in college, but can do. The Chargers offense looked much better against a championship-winning defense. The Chiefs defense is good, guys. And so I don't know how you can go back to Tyrod Taylor. I know that Anthony Lynn likes Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor seems like a great mentor, a great player. But this is it. This is what happens. He got hurt. Herbert came in. Play Herbert, man. I don't know why you would go back to Tyrod.
Jeff Schwartz joins SiriusXM NFL Radio. Last night was a great game to watch, Patriots and Seahawks, but when Cam Newton's going down the field in those final two drives and nearly pulling off the comeback, I can't tell, is Cam Newton gone to a next level, or is that just really bad Seahawks defense allowing way too much space down the field? How'd you assess the attempted comeback by Cam?
My old butt fell asleep last night in the last quarter. I had to go back and watch it this morning. That's how my stamina for staying up late has been ruined by the lack of sports for like 4 months. So I went back and watched it this morning. It was fun to watch, kind of see how it all went down. I think Cam is really good. And I told people that if you got 2018 Cam, the first half of 2018, the first 8 weeks of the season, if you got that Cam, the Patriots were going to be good. And it feels like we have that Cam. We saw that when you allow him to do a little bit more in the offense, really the second half of that game, right? He hits Edelman for that long pass. They're down, I think, 12 at that point. And obviously you mentioned the last drive and what the – he can still do it. And if you're a Patriots fan, I know your defense got torched and you didn't win the game and that play at the end. If you go to my Twitter, at Jeff Schwartz, I talk about who actually made that play. It was Bobby Wagner. I mean, everyone knew that they were running to the left. You gotta feel good if you're a Patriots fan because I think it showed that Cam has still got it. He's healthy. The team believes in him, and he can do it. And you know, I think the AFC East is going to be a battle between obviously them and Buffalo. But Cam showed he got it still. And I think if you're the Patriots, you look to open up the offense a little bit more with Cam.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was like Cam Newton now has a confidence that maybe he didn't have toward the end in Carolina. And those guys, I think it's true. They seem to believe in him. He's playing that part really well. And when he believes, man, it's infectious because he's such a powerful, charismatic personality. So do you think that the Patriots won't be nearly as bad as maybe some people thought, like around 500? Are they the best team of that division, I guess?
Well, I had them at 10-6. So I'm not surprised at what they're doing. I believed in Cam once he got healthy that he was going to be good. Look, Buffalo's off to a great start, obviously. I have been a notorious Josh Allen hater. He has done a good job in the first two games. I will not deny that. But just like I won't go gloat about Justin Herbert so far, I don't do the other direction and you know say I've changed my opinion on Josh Allen, right? Like the season ebbs and flows. And typically it goes in 4 week, kind of month blocks. And so, you know, I typically evaluate teams after a month. And so, you know, let's see the Patriots have a tough schedule, but let's see the Patriots do, you know, moving forward and let's see the Bills do moving forward. And I don't really come off my assessments in the preseason until about a month in. So, I'll still stay with the Patriots, 10-6. Their defense is, I know got torched, but still really good, really elite. Their offense looked a lot better yesterday than it did in week one. And I get the best coach in the NFL who has something to prove. I'll stick with them to win the East for now.
Jeff Schwartz, our friend, joining us this morning here on the show. Listen to him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You see him on Good Morning Football as well on the NFL Network. And he's all over social media analyzing the NFL. Jeff, it's always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, have a great day.
You too, buddy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.